Hi, Greg Perry, the historic preservationist. Welcome to season 3, episode 93. This episode, we're going to just talk about briefly about English portable desks. You know, when I think of these, I think of something what 15 inches deep and maybe 20 inches wide, a little slant, 6 inches high, sits on your lap. You can carry it. I own 3 or 4 of them. I have one that's Japanned and one in walnut, curly maple. I've made a few of them. Fun things. Lift the flap up and see the pigeonhole compartments and little hidden boxes, things like that. So let's talk about these little desks and their origins. So kind of as far back as 1386, Chaucer used the word desk, but the term then signified something that might as likely be stone or even wood. At that time, most desks were fixed in churches or monasteries, and a man normally stood to read or write at them only. But during the next century, some portable desks were made in France and Italy. Inventories of the goods of French kings in the later Middle Ages included desks of ebony and ivory. And by the 16th century, every Italian palace had desks among its furniture inventories. In Northern Europe also, smaller desks were being made. An authority on early oak furniture once informed that he had seen examples which could be fairly dated from about 1525. Durer, in 1526, portrayed Erasus, which was a writing portable desk. But in England, such pieces were probably not common, for literacy was prevalent even in the upper classes. Illiteracy was prevalent even throughout the upper classes. Probably 95% of the upper classes were totally illiterate. Not every gentleman could handle a pen either, and writing was considered to be largely the business of professional secretaries. However, from 1548, it's preserved in a record of in Little Hoe desk and Little Hoe coffer, whereupon men do write. So it was a poem. And it is known that Henry VIII had portable desks fitted with drawers, too often filled with such things as hawk's bells and jesses rather than paper and pens, though Henry was, in fact, a scholar. So I think one of the two of his personal desks still survive, and this is in the Victorian and Albert Museum, a striking nonsuch desk with marquetry decoration like that of the nonsuch chest dating from the reign of Henry's famous daughter, Queen Elizabeth. So of approximately the same period is Shakespeare's reference in the Comedy of Errors, in the desk that cornered her with Turkish tapestry. There is a purse of ducats. But the latter part of Shakespeare's life brings us to an age from which numbers of portable desks and Bible boxes still survive. A typical example, which may perhaps be dated, standing desk or desk on stands advertise their descent from different pieces of furniture by the inch or two overlap of the desk on either side of the stand. It will also be observed that the sloping front no longer opens upward, but outward and downward. There are sliding pulls, or called lopers, in a very few early pieces, which were actually opening gates to support the top when it's in its open position. From the end of the 17th century, the portable desk must be considered a much less important piece than the various larger desks were. The grown-up desk had been accepted as a necessity to every well-furnished home. It is worth recalling that, before 1700, some of the new desks had so far grown up that they were 7 feet tall, because bookshelves had been placed above them. Hence, the secretary bookcase had been evolved. Thus, it did not happen that, even with the invention of printing and the production of smaller books, in the 16th and early 17th century, it encouraged the making of small portable desks once again. Instead of the great fixed desk on which many things could be read at one time, or the later multiplication of books helped to lessen the appeal of the small portable desk for having all that information at one hand just above you. For people did eventually again prefer to have the stationary desk with bookshelves above. So this one, obviously back and forth, century to century, and location around the world to location around the world. But nevertheless, a few portable desks continued to be made through all these changes up and down, particularly for ladies and for traveling. Thus we find such pieces that are actually japanned on the outside and painted with reds and greens on a buff ground, the whole being framed in red, blue, and gold. So some of these particular desks, it is an unusually small one, in fact, that which prompts the word of warning. I have seen small examples which were described as portable desks and appeared, in fact, to be a charming and dainty specimen that were actually useless, but which proved to be the basis of unusually large toilet mirrors. So some people were passing off these small portable desks by toilet mirrors. So such thing, they're all genuine antiques, and they're all often desirable. But a purchaser should be under no illusion as to what he is buying. So, you know, a toilet-type mirror, which is a shaving mirror, men's mirror, they often look like these portable desks, but they were too small to put anything on them, to do any writing or anything like that. So it is also well to examine the underside of any portable desk. For some examples were originally small desks on stands, which, their stands having been destroyed, survive as portable desks. But, more often, such pieces have new stands made for them, and they are sold for the much higher price that a genuine early desk on stand will command. So there could scarcely be a better or more interesting example of a traveling writing desk than a Chippendale piece, bequeathed by Oliver Goldsmith to Dr. Howes. This is a mahogany, and a similar desk designed for Shearer and dating from about 1803 cost about £20, according to the Cabinet Maker's Book of Prices, which mentions particularly the desk accommodations not only for pens, ink, and sand, but also for razors, combs, and even a glass. In short, though a desk, this piece is intended also to fulfill the functions of a toilet mirror, which suggests that the earlier warning against confusing some portable desks with the basis of toilet mirrors should perhaps be qualified by another warning. The point is that worth noting, because Sheraton had in 1792 described a lady's traveling box intended for writing, dressing, and working. There were also fitted medicine chests, which were related to these type of desks, and eventually adapted to Bible boxes, which create another snare and delusion for the would-be collector of early desk or early type slant-lid boxes. The fact is that the true portable desks of the 18th century are rare, on which point some cynics will comment that this is only because there is now very little demand for them. In the 19th century, and particularly in the latter two-thirds of it, there were made in England numbers of portable desks or small writing cabinets. Though often of sound construction, many are brass-bound and very sturdy. They are usually of inferior design and are naturally not of particular interest to collectors of antiques. So I should like, therefore, to conclude by referring to some of these, a portable writing desk, strictly, but not standing on any type of stand. So this Hepplewhite piece I'm referring to dates from about 1790, and it shows clearly not only the change and development of style in 100 years when compared with others, but also the persistence of what may be called the portable desk character, even in a standing desk. So what I'm trying to convey here is that all these desks from the mid-1550s up until the 1850s, a span of some 400 years, the basic essence of the slant lid, the size, everything remained the same, except the little details on it. So that's all that really changed. So it is almost redundant to point out the handles at the sides and that the ledge to support a book in the front, which a feature which, though absent in many of these, in fact, can be found on the most early pieces. But I would say, nevertheless, these are really fun pieces. Some have little amphitheater interiors. I mean, they're exact copies. Some have leather-lined writing surfaces with a roulette gilt border around the perimeter of the leather. They also have working functioning locks. Some are blocked. Some have very choice veneers. Some are full of marquetry. Some have tortoise. So just a lot of variety and a little fun piece. But today, I mean, even at auction today, when antiquity is really on the downside, some of these small desks, you know, if they have, you know, better than normal embellishments, can actually range up into the $2,500 to $3,500 range in 2022. So I hope everyone out there is good enough to see one of these at one time, or possibly touch one or own one if you like. So, Greg Perry, the historic preservationist, signing out. Thanks, everyone, for listening.